Galatians chapter 6, turn there if you would please. Enjoyed myself today. Got a Baptist nap. Oh, yeah. It's your birthday. Get a cheesesteak. I do like cheesecake, Bailey. Okay. Did you make me cake? Banana? Who's the one who does the banana deal? Bro. I know you were sick. I'm sorry. Sick in the head. I understand. I totally. The guy about ready to fall out on me today. I mean, good night. I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. Way to leave the platform, amen? The man's about ready to fall out. Whew! Sal, you all right? Everything good today? Okay, everything was fine this afternoon. Okay, good. All right. Galatians chapter 6, beginning verse number 1. I'm going to do a message tonight. Do you have a burden to reach people? You have a burden to reach people. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. Galatians 6, verse 1. I'm getting there, Abster. I'm going to help you with that. You got problems? You don't have problems? Your sister said you have problems. I don't know what you're talking about. What's up, bud? You don't know? Okay. What are you coming up here? Oh, he's going up to her? You want to sit with her? Okay, come on up here. You can sit with her. You got to keep an eye on her. Sometimes she wants to go to sleep. You know what I mean? Help her out a little bit, okay? Skateboard man. Oh, yeah. All right. Everybody okay now? All right, good. I'm okay. I'm fine. I mean, listen, seriously. Like, I mean, hello. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Wow. Okay. I want you to just think for a minute. Do you know somebody who used to come to church who's not in church anymore? Raise your hand. Now here's my question. Who is going to get them or reach out to them to challenge them to come back to church? You see what the Bible says? Spiritual people. Now I'm really burdened, and I've been for a while. I'm burdened about the people who live in the world and the people who used to come to church who live like the world but don't live for God anymore. Yeah. And the attraction is that they try to let everybody know that they're having a good time. So that young people, you ready, think they're missing something out there with what they're doing. It happens all the time. But what you have to do, you ready, watch, is to stay away from that. You have to be spiritual. Okay, now watch. So let me ask a question, young people. So how many young people do you know who are really spiritual? I mean, like they read their Bible, they pray, and when they're tempted from people on the outside, they know the response. Come on now. So I think about this a lot. You ready? Could you imagine, and I'm thinking about even Solid Rock, I'm thinking about all the churches I worked in, listen very carefully. Can you imagine if we reached 10% of the people who are no longer in church? 10%. So let me ask a question. So who's burdened about that? It shouldn't only be the pastor and his wife. Hello? It ought to be us. We ought to be able to reach one of them, right? Hello? I don't know about you. Who? When my wife passed away, I was literally overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. At her funeral. And I don't call it a funeral, it's a going home service, amen? I'm talking thousands of people showed up. Thousands. Thousands. I'm talking our church seats, 1,079, and there might have been 25 seats empty. That was just the funeral part or the homegoing service. I'm talking about people coming in one after another. I got little kids. I got pictures of an envelope. You ready? Love you, Pastor Kaiser, and 46 cents in a sealed little plastic, come on, baggie. And her sister, she's five, sister's three, Brooke, and she's got 44 cents in there. Do you know what that does to me? You know what that does to me? It encourages me that there are young kids watching. Little guys. My famous word for these guys is lunatic. Amen? And I have a little thing in my phone that says, don't be a knucklehead. Somebody sent that to me. Amen? Do you know there's a lot of knuckleheads in this world? Amen? There's one standing up here. I'm a knucklehead. Amen? Hello. But the word is lunatic. I just think, listen to me very carefully. I want to try to reach as many people as I can before I go to glory. And since my wife passed, you thought I talked more before. Like I ain't being quiet for nothing. But I'm trying to reach, and I got them on my phone. I'm trying to reach those kids. I'm trying to reach those teenagers who are young adults who don't come to church anymore. And listen very carefully. When you're out there for a long period of time, it's hard to come back. Now here you go. I'm going to get really personal about this. So let me ask you a question. What happens when they come back to church? How are they greeted in our church? Do you know sometimes in the next part of the verse says this? Ready? Watch. Look what it says. Look what it says in the next part of the verse. You ready? In the spirit of meekness, consider thyself lest thou also be tempted. It's only by the grace of God I'm not out there. Hello? So my question is, how do they feel when they come in here? You know how they normally feel? Like they're looked down at. Like you deserve that. What? Where did you get that from? Illustration. I had a young girl, was in my youth group. She was probably my best athlete I ever had. And she, trying to warn her, tell her not to get around this kid, this fella. And so she hooked up with this guy, and one thing led to another, and she did the next most unthinkable thing. She had a child out of wedlock. The guy sold drugs. Bailey, I got it. Aberowski. I'm thinking my nickname. Don't even bother with knuckleheads. Don't bother knuckleheads. It's not worth it. If the guy doesn't work, he's a loser. Now, I'm not saying that they can't work. You understand what I'm talking about, right? The kind of guy that sits home and does nothing. Like they send the wife to work and they're sitting home watching the children. That's our new deal, you know, right? Like I know somebody doing that. No. Child needs mama. Come on now. Now, I know you have to work and whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. So she gets married. Her dad is in Iraq. And her mother calls me up after she gets pregnant and said, you know, should I let my husband know on the field? I don't think that'd be a good idea. She has a boy, but she names it after her father. Smart move. Smart move. Smart move. The fella then gets caught selling drugs and gets locked up. Before he gets locked up, now they finally get married. Before he gets locked up, he gets her pregnant again with the second child. He gets incarcerated again, then comes back out of jail and comes home. And he's not even home a week. And he goes upstairs and he overdoses on heroin and dies. When he dies, I go to his funeral. I felt like I should preach that funeral. But her brother preached the funeral. And after a little time, this girl that I had, that was my athlete, who got messed up, actually realized she made a mistake. And she calls me on the phone to ask if she could come back to church. Two kids. I said, well, I have to ask the pastor if you can come back to church. Now catch it. The pastor said, I don't think it would be a good idea because she won't be a good influence. Do you know what kind of phone call that was? Heart-wrenching. Heart-wrenching. 2 weeks later, she's home with the boys. Two boys. And she has a brain aneurysm, hits her head on the table, and dies. What do you think she remembered about church? I do know that she knew she had a friend. She knew she could call me. Now, I told you this morning, and I'm telling you again, I'm nobody. Listen very carefully, I'm nobody. But I'm trying to help people. I'm interested in helping people. Hello? My question is, are you? Are you? All right, here we go. You got me already preaching. I didn't even start yet. Amen? Come on now. You're messing me up again, Bailey. It's your problem. Amen? Here we go. Number two. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wow, wow. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you went out and reached somebody who couldn't give you anything in return? I was thinking about all those people today with their family. So they came one time, right? Do you think the lady who brought them, it's just her job to invite them to church? Do you know what I found about churches? You ready? Watch. There are certain churches, when you come in, they're cold as ice. This church is not like that. Like, nobody leaves here. Seriously. Like, that's a good thing. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, I'm looking in the back, like, ain't nobody leaving yet. And we even got food going on. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? That's a good thing. There are some people, when you go into a building, first of all, I've been in churches, they don't even greet you, and I'm the visiting preacher. And then everybody, as quick as they came, is as quick as they leave. That's not good. Those people, I felt like today, felt like, come on now, they were received here at this church. That's a good thing. But I want to reach people, listen to me very carefully, who can't give me anything in return. And sometimes it's people, come on, that nobody else will reach. How many people do you see with a sign? Come on, homeless. I have to pray. I ask God, should I give that guy money or that girl money? And I just look at the clothes. When they got the sneakers on that cost more money than the sneakers I got, I ain't giving them no money. Hello? When their clothes don't look dirty, come on, and you look over and you see where they sleep, I'm going to help somebody like that. but I pray about it. I'm trying to help somebody else with a burden they have, and you have no idea. I met an Army vet when I came off the Taconi-Palmyra Bridge. He's there all the time. Like he can't get a place to stay. Sleeps in a car. Now, I'm just going to tell you. Can I just pause here for 1 minute? I think it's a disgrace. But we don't take care of people who gave, come on, their life for this country. Where's our priorities here? Seriously. Like, none of them should be homeless. Seriously. I mean, some gave all gave some. We're living free because of them. And we can't even find a home for them? Build a house. Build a building. Put them in a place. I'll give money towards it. Come on now. There is a cause. But the people, listen to me, they could be here in this church. They have problems. They're going through issues. Come on, they're struggling in life. They lost their job. And we're not even paying attention. I'm talking to me. Do you hear me? I'm talking to me tonight. Do you hear I'm talking to me tonight? What's it take? Not much. A little bit of love. A little bit of love. Verse number 3, and then I'll get into the message here because we got ice cream. Come on now. And pie down there. Lord, have mercy. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and they shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Watch it. Now look at the next verse. For every man shall bear his own burden. That means there's something in life when you're going through it that you have to bear it yourself. Now, I lost my wife September the 12th, and I have to bear that. Now, I give it to the Lord, but sometimes I take it back. And sometimes, come on, I feel like I'm going to call her on the phone, but I can't call her on the phone. I think about it when I'm packing my suitcase, when I never pack my suitcase. And there's a part of you gone. And you have no idea what the future holds. But that's no excuse for me not to help somebody else, no matter what I'm going through. Can I help you here? Here's what I've learned. To get off the problems you have is go help somebody else. That's a good thing right there. Because you sort of get off what you got going on. So I want to give you a couple points tonight. Let me give you some statistics that, like, blows my mind away. You ready? In one day, there's 84,600 seconds. 2.2 people die every second. That means 132 people die every minute. Watch this one now. 190,080 die every day. Watch this one. 1,330,560 die a week. Now, I checked these numbers out. They're all right. In a year, 69,189,120 die a year. And where's my burden? And how many of them did I reach? Or how many of them did I give a gospel tract out so that they had an opportunity to hear? And I just walk by. Because to be honest with you, I don't even care. Like, we go to stores. Don't we go to stores? How many go to stores? Raise your hand. Please. I mean, you give somebody a gospel tract, right? Do you ever have somebody, like throw your gospel tract down or rip it up in front of you? I want to choke that person. Amen? But here's what I say. You know what? You don't want it, you don't get it. God sent somebody by. I was in Maine. I'm going through now. Now they got every toll booth. There's no toll booths. I mean, everything's drive-through. And I stopped by this lady, and I give her a gospel tract, Better Than Money. She said, well, what can be better than money? And we started a conversation. Like, I gave her the whole gospel at the toll booth. Good thing it was in Maine. If it was in the Northeast, they'd have been beeping their horn. Wah, wah, wah. Just be quiet for 1 minute, will you? It was probably me behind them. Anyway, I'm just saying. And I gave her the gospel. And when I gave her the gospel, she said, I'm already saved. Woo! I'm thinking, I would have never known that if I didn't get a retract, right? I wouldn't have known her. I wouldn't have known she was saved. But how many times in life do we just go by people and we're not even paying attention? And God sent them by. Come on now. Do you know why I don't pass out gospel tracts? Because I don't have them with me. That's pretty deep, isn't it? It's really deep, isn't it? No, we have plenty of them in the car. We got them in our pocketbook. We got them at home. We don't have them with us. Now, listen. A lady's pocketbook is a suitcase. You might not find it in there unless you have another pocket somewhere. I'm talking about my wife. She had a suitcase. It's amazing what's inside that thing. Amen? Hello? Usually there's no money, but, you know, hello. Everything else is in there. So let me give you some points tonight when if we're going to reach people and have a burden. Number one, don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your first love. Okay, Jumpin' Joe from Kokomo. That's you, Revelation 2:4. We're giving Bro Man a break because we don't need him to fall over. Amen. Josh, with the Battle of Jericho, bro. We don't need you falling over, bro. Everybody's song lead. We don't need you to go there. Amen. You got it, Jumpin' Joe from Kokomo? Go ahead, bud. Wow. Can I ask you a question? Revelation 2:4. Can I ask you a question? Do you love God more than you love God when you got saved? Sometimes in life we slacken a little bit off the love. Let me guess a question. You love your family like you used to love your family. Sometimes you got people in your family got problems. Anybody got them like that? Come on. I'm the only one in my house. Come on, and the two in the back. Are you serious? They got issues. Are you serious? Please. They're like the family you try to avoid. Hello? Ever been there? Been there, lived there. Amen? Still there. Amen? Ain't getting away from it. Amen? Hello? That's how that rolls. I may have told this illustration, but it's good right here. I had a family, and I was praying to God, and I said, you know what, God, I really would like to reach a family. Could you let me reach a family? And I don't, it wasn't 2 weeks. And we had a nurse in our church, and she came to me. She said, Pastor Carter, there's been a guy who got hurt pretty seriously. He was out playing basketball on a portable basketball net. And when he went to dunk the basketball, the whole rim collapsed and drove all of his, he's fine, let him go, he's good, drove all of his inside leg parts and sort of compressed them in there. Nerve damage, everything else. His name was Jason. And she came in one Sunday. She said, would you go visit this family? Last name was Park. So it was that week. I'm going to go up there. It's Friday. Now, The family's Italian. They're having a party in the hospital. Like they're eating food off the guy's bed. You know what I'm talking about? Like real Italians. I work for two Italians. Pastors, oh my soul. Both those mamas could, oh my soul. They made stuff from scratch. Amen. They didn't have, come on, they didn't have sauce. They had gravy. That's what Italians call it, gravy. Oh yeah, gravy. I'm about ready to eat something right now. Amen. I'm thinking about getting some, I'm looking for some pierogies and I'm looking for stuffed shells right now. Wow, I'm only getting ice cream and pie. Are you seriously? You do live in America. What are you, crazy? And so I go there and there's like, I don't know. There might be 20 people there. I can't even get in the door. I said, would you mind like if I talk to the mom? I said, who's the mom here? And her name was Ann. She came out. I said, could I just come home and visit your house when Jason gets out? Maybe I'll come next week, like on a Tuesday or something. She said, okay, that'd be fine. So it's Tuesday. I'm done visitation. It's about 8:30. I pull in, and all of a sudden, they're going to take me downstairs. And I don't know. The lady invited her daughter out back, invited her mother, then invited her sister, who then brought, come on, her daughter, and the four of them. And there's like 10 people downstairs. I mean, like, another party going on here. Come on, I'm just saying, like, that's how they roll. And I go downstairs and I'm thinking, like, what am I going to do, preach? And what am I going to do? And the Lord said, just preach Jesus. So I preached Jesus. And one lady in there, the mother, was the only one who got saved. She got saved at camp. And all other 9 people got saved that day. Okay, now watch. White man can't jump, but that white man jumped that day. Amen. He was about that high off the ground. 9 people got saved that day. Watch it. Better than that, they all came to church on Sunday. Hello? And then not too long after that, they all got baptized. Then the kids started coming to Christian school. And here's what they said to me. Do you think you could come like once a week and teach us the Bible? I'm thinking, hello, 8:30, night, 12:30, 1:30 in the morning, teaching them the Bible. Now, there was a young lady there who was at the time 17. Her name was Janine. It was actually her niece. And she was just paying attention to everything. And she said, I'm dating a guy. Said, I'm getting ready to graduate, and should I be dating somebody who's not saved? He just needed a skateboard, okay? He's fine. Watch. Okay, now watch. So I said, well, two can't walk together unless they be agreed. I said, but why don't you invite him to the Bible study? We'll get him saved like you got saved. So she goes back to ask him about coming to the Bible study, and he don't want anything to do with it. She said, I'm done with that guy. Now, very few times people listen to what your counsel is. But she listened. That summer, we went on a mission trip, went to the Dominican Republic, and we went to visit the Autry's in the Dominican Republic. And Janine, this girl, looks at this guy and says, I like that guy. His name was Jonathan. I said, there's only one problem, Janine. He's engaged. He said, well, you told me. If something is God's will, God can just break off the engagement and I'll marry him. Now she's preaching to me. She said, Pastor God, you got to have faith. Hello? So I pull his dad, Ron Altry, to the side and I said, did you really want your son to marry that girl? He said, not really. I don't think it's good for him. And it was a missionary girl, good girl, just wasn't a good fit. And so, I get back from the Dominican. She comes to church and tells me, guess what? He broke off the engagement. And now we have long-distance relationship. It's pretty long distance. Come on. From the Dominican Republic. Hello? The following year, we go back to visit. And he proposes to her in the Dominican Republic. And they get engaged. And then they get married in our church. And she is now a missionary in the Dominican Republic with three little kids. Watch. Listen. I'm talking to me tonight. Do you hear me? One prayer. Just one prayer. Do you know, come on, do you know that God wants us to try to reach everybody we can? Because I feel like the trumpet's going to be called real soon. And we just got to get busy. Don't lose your first love. Number two. Let me give you some Bible verses, okay, about losing your first love. All right, let's turn to a couple of verses. Proverbs 15:3. You know who's next. Samster, that's you, bro. Proverbs 15:3. The Baalster. That's Proverbs 16:18, please. God, you're good, Sam.
The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil man.
Whoa. When I was a kid, I used to think I could get away with stuff. Now, I could from my mother, but not from God. Little story. My brother and I are messing around in the bathroom. My father had just passed. I was 14 when my dad passed away. And we're messing around in the bathroom. Back then is when the sink was on the wall. Now, my brother and I were not small. Okay. My brother was 6'7", and I'm 6'3". And we started messing around in the bathroom. And I wound up pushing my brother, and he hit the sink, and the sink came off the wall. It's in his hands, and water shooting all over the place. Now, I know where the valve is downstairs, but Mama's next door visiting. And I go down and shut the water off. Now we have to come up with a story. You know, Bob bumped it, you know, came off the wall. Yeah. Now, I thought I got by with that till my brother had a brain tumor and passed away. I preached his funeral, and I told that story at the funeral because I forgot Mom didn't know about that. And Mom in her seat was getting mad. I could not, I knew you guys did something, amen? Because we were boys. The three amigos right there. Oh, I got three amigos over there too. But the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. Okay, Belaruski, that's you. I don't know. Did you ever think you're all that in a bag of chips? So I've been traveling, doing vacation Bible schools for about 13 years. I've been doing vacation Bible schools for about 25 years. But traveling for about 13 years, doing VBSs. And there were a lot of people getting saved. And I was getting a little full of myself. And again, prideful. And so one day, I had a problem going on, and I had to go get examined, and it was about my prostate. And I went to get checked, and here I had prostate cancer. And the Lord said, "There's your warning." And what I learned about God is this. If you try to take His glory, the glory belongs to Him. And God said to me, as quick as I put my anointing on you, I can take it off. And you better understand that I am ultimately in control and you are not. I said, okay, so am I going to die? Is it in my bone? Am I finished? He said, no, you're not done. But I just want to give you a warning. Now, it wasn't in the bone. My PSA number was way up. And I had cancer. But it was just in the prostate. And I went through 35 treatments. And basically, I never thought it would be that bad, but it was ridiculous. Radiation. And then I had a scan after that, and everything was clear. And then I just had a PET scan, and I'm clear to go. Now, that's God. But I got it plugged in the memory bank. Because I don't want to go back there. Now, I don't know what God has to do to get your attention. But God can do it in the right way. And don't let your pride get involved. All right, point number two. Don't let your fire go out. Proverbs 26:20, Aberuski, that's you. Proverbs 26:20. We're coming around third. You got it, Abster. Okay, watch. If you have a fireplace or you have a wood-burning stove, if you ain't got no wood, it ain't burning. Them wood-burning stoves, now I ain't never had one. That's a whole lot of work. You need to have a family to feed that thing. Amen? Hello? So how do you have your fire? How do you have your fire go out? You ready? You don't read your Bible and you don't pray, because that's where you get the fire from. Stop coming to church. You ready? Watch. Sit in a pew and listen, but you have selective hearing. My wife used to say to me all the time, you're not listening to me. You kids, hello, ever been told you're not listening? You look like you're listening, but you're not listening to anything. Hello? Illustration. Catacorner to my house. I'm four, and this guy's seven. New family moved in a little while ago, and normally I know everybody on the block. I know their cars. I know the kids. Hello, you know why, don't you? Because I drop candy off. Oh, yeah. Ring pops, lollipops, Reese's. Oh, yeah. So I've been trying to get over to this guy, Paul, and his wife. And got two teenage girls, a girl and a boy, James and Jamie. That's really original, right? Hello, come on now. Hard to remember. Nicest kids you ever want to meet. I got a brother, about 7 years old. His name is Liam. And I've been trying, but not trying hard enough to get over there. So I'm in Tennessee, and I get back from Tennessee. I was at a wedding. And when I get back, I find out there was a car accident with Paul. I see him in a walker. He's about, I don't know, he's in his 40s, I think. So I proceed to go over, and the Lord said, what are you waiting for? So I go over, and Paul said, I don't even know how I'm alive. I don't even know why I'm alive. I said, so I can come and tell you the gospel. Because if you had died in a car accident, you'd have burned and went to hell. And it would have been my fault. Diana is his wife's name. So
So I go over there, and what I find out happened was a drunk, he was going to work early in the morning, works down in Philly. He's a concrete finisher. As he's coming this way, a car, actually a truck, but a high truck, crosses over onto his oncoming lane where he is. He can't get out of the way. The truck runs over his car. Literally, so he ducks his head out of the way. It crushes the whole passenger side. The drive shaft goes right through the seat of his car. And he moved out of the way and he lived. I said, now, Paul, I just want to let you, and he's got Roman Catholic in his background. I said, you know what, Paul? You just need to know where you're going when you die, because you had no idea that was going to happen. Now, he didn't get saved. But in the process of time, I found out that his wife was saved. The two kids are saved. And what I found out as talking to them right there is she used to go to church, but she doesn't go to church anymore. She had a bad relationship with a guy who was on drugs. And she moved from where she was. And if I remember correctly, I got to think this. I always said Las Vegas, but it's not. It's down there somewhere. The father just died. And I'm thinking, whew. I look over her. She's got a beanie on, and here she's dealing with breast cancer. Had to have both breasts removed. And then I go and see her another day, and I'm talking to her. And then she tells me that she's got cancer all inside here. And I'm thinking, this girl's not long for this world. And the Lord said, could you help them? It was right around Christmas. You could help them. I go to buy them a meal. Okay, I go to Popeye's Chicken. Oh, yeah. I'm liking some Popeye's Chicken right now. How about you? You like Popeye's Chicken? You like Kentucky Fried Chicken? Okay, you like that better. Okay, sorry. Excuse me. Kentucky Fried Chicken wasn't there. So I go. I'm thinking, okay. Sides. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a starch guy, okay? I'm figuring macaroni, cheese, and mashed potatoes, right? Right? Come on. I mean, come on, come on. I mean, who in the world doesn't like macaroni and cheese and mashed potatoes and gravy? I go there, they say, we don't have macaroni and cheese. What? I said, how in the world are you open and don't have macaroni and cheese? What? Oh, and by the way, we're out of mashed potatoes. What? What are you doing open? Hello? Now, so what do I got to get? You ready? I ain't getting vegetables. I get double orders of French fries. Amen? That's what I get. Double order of French fries. Now, I figure, because I like sweet tea, they probably like sweet tea. You got sweet tea? No, we're out of sweet tea. What? You're out of sweet tea. What in the world? They said we have lemonade. All right, I'll take lemonade. Give me lemonade. And I go to the store and I get some sodas. And I come back. I don't know what I spent, $30, whatever. And you'd have thought, whew, that I gave him $1 million. Come to find out, you ready? Liam's favorite drink, you ready, is lemonade. His favorite side item is French fries. He doesn't like macaroni and cheese. I'm getting macaroni and cheese because I like it. Amen. I'm thinking, hello, if they don't want it, I'll eat it. Amen. I said all that to say this. Just a little bit of care. Just a little care. You think you could do that for somebody? Somebody maybe out of work? Could think about somebody in your neighborhood maybe needs a little help? Now, most of the time, we don't even know who's in the neighborhood. but they're your neighbor, and we're supposed to love them like ourselves. Last one, and I'm through. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose your passion. All right. Who's a reader in this clan? Starling, you can read? Okay, wait a second. All right, hold on. I got to get this here. Okay, so let's see. Are you Ben? Okay, Ben, could you read for me? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Is that what I want? Yeah, Galatians 6, 9. Please, Ben. Oh, wait a second. I'm going to teach you guys. Stand up and read. You're the man. Go ahead, bro. Thank you. Come on up here, Ben, would you please? Put the dollar in the offering, and you can spend that five, okay? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you for your help. I appreciate it. Give him a nice round of applause there. Come on now. Oh, it's your birthday. Get a cheesesteak. Can't buy a cheesesteak with $5. It costs about $8. Lunatic. All right. Need one other verse. James 4:8. James 4:8. Ethan, right? Ethan, can you read that for me, bud? Please. Good job. Come on over here, Ethan, man. I remember his name, Ethan Swykowski and Ben Barclay. That's how I remember stuff. I'm just telling you, that's how I roll. Thank you, bud. Here, I'll separate it for you so you can put it on there. There you go. Thank you. Appreciate it. Give him a nice round of applause right there. Oh, yeah. I'll close with this illustration. So, I'm on the bus. And I got these girls helping me out. And Courtney and Brittany, they're twins. Courtney never smiles. Her mother was serving a life sentence for murder. And her grandmother was raising these two girls. And they had two friends, Jasmine and Brianna. And they used to come on my bus, and I'd put people to work. So they keep attendance. They hand out snacks. They hand out tickets. And so I said to them, I said, you know what, one of these Saturdays, next Saturday, I'll take you out to eat. I'm figuring McDonald's, French restaurant, dollar menu be good, amen? But they're girls. They want to go to the Chinese buffet. $12.99 Chinese buffet. Now, I only have $65 in my bank account on my debit card. So, when you take your family out to eat, normally they look at you to see if they have to get water or they get soda. Because soda is like $4 a piece. It's highway robbery. Hello? I mean, you take a family like that to McDonald's, it'll cost you an arm and a leg. Hello? They'll want to take one of your child's, you know what I mean, to pay for the meal. Hello? So I go, I got a $10 coupon, I got a bus worker with me. They all get drinks. Can you imagine, Ben? They all get drinks. Now, I'm figuring my bus worker, I'm looking at him, he's going to get water. No. He gets soda, so guess what I do? I get soda too. Amen? So after the tip and everything, and the discount coupon, it came to $89, and I got $65 in the bank. Now, they say to me this, you think we can go to Rita's? Like, we're going to go to Rita's. Can we go to Rita's? I got 20 bucks left in my pocket. Can we go to Rita's? Now, they just don't want water ice. They want a gelati. That's ice cream and water ice. Because they're high maintenance. Hello? There goes the 20 right out the window. My wife meets us, and so I can get her a water ice. Hello. And the bus worker jumps out of the van and tells my wife how much money I spent. Those kind of people are not your friends. You need to choke their little neck. Amen? Choke their little neck. So My wife, being the kind of great lady she was, she worked and cleaned some houses and made $100, and she ran to the bank before it bounced. Amen? So she covers it. So we finished there, and I proceed to take them to my house. And in my house, I have a 1 acre property I had back in Coastville, Pennsylvania, and I had a zip line that went from one pole to the next. So you climb up onto one pole and you grab onto the zip line and go like right across. It was awesome. Now, this girl Courtney, who had ever smiled, she's a lunatic. She lets go in the middle. Yeah, she lets go in the middle. And she bounces down off the ground and she flips over. And she does this kind of crazy move, amen? Athletic. I'm thinking they're going to own my house. They're going to sue me and own my house. Lunatic. There's no harness. No harness. This is Brother Kaiser's house, amen? She said. So I take him in the house. I'm going to give him some iced tea. My wife gets home and go give him some cookies, whatever. And she said, she goes downstairs to my man cave and she sees the treadmill. She said, do you think I could go in this treadmill and run and see if I can keep up with as fast as it will go? Now, my treadmill will go 10 miles an hour. I said, now, the only way you're going on there is if I put the clip on. So when you fall off, hello, it stops. So she gets on there. Ethan, she's on there, and she is rolling. I mean, just kept up 10 miles an hour. What an athlete. So we leave there and we all get in the van. I take them back. I spent 5-6 hours with them. And the girl, Courtney, who never smiled, is smiling from ear to ear. When I drop her off at the house, she says something to me. She said, Pastor Kaiser, she said, this was the greatest day of my life. Now, I said, Courtney, I said, the greatest day of your life is when you rode my bus and you got saved. I said, that was the greatest, but I understand what you're saying. To her, come on now. $100, greatest day of her life. It gets better. I get to church. Nobody knows about it but my bus worker and my wife. And at the end of the service, a guy comes up to me, who I know very well, and he shakes my hand, and he puts something in my hand, one of those money handshakes, and I just have a thing I do. I just put it in my back pocket, and I seal it off and look at it later. So I don't know how much is in there. And when I get out to the car and I open it up, it's a $100 bill. And you think God doesn't pay attention? Now, I said all that to say this. All we got to do is ask God. And you don't have any money. You don't need money. Come on. Giving somebody some time and God will give you the money. Hello? But to them, go into the Chinese buffet, which I would do, I don't know how many times a year I do that. Hello? Here you go, and I'm through. So where's your bird? Who does God want you to reach? Who does God want me to reach? Who does God want me to pray about for God to do something and help somebody in their life? Let's be the kind of people that keep the main thing the main thing. We got saved to reach people with the gospel. Don't stop doing that because you never know. Could be somebody get saved in church on Sunday.